Good morning. Today's daf from Matzias Kuf Bey. Thank the Lupin Foundation for a sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on Zeh Nishmat. Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We are on Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. We're right in the middle of the Amud with the words Peshitta. We started the Mishnah yesterday. Mishnah goes back to Kuf Amud Beis, and the Mishnah here in the towards the end of the eighth parak of Matzias talks about various issues regarding properties, rentals, etc., etc. So the we talked yesterday about contested monies, and Mishnah on Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. The Mishnah on Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. I'm sorry. The Mishnah deals with various issues regarding rentals of property. Our Mishnah talked primarily about eviction notices, right? At what point in time you have to serve an eviction notice in order to legally remove the tenant from the property. So the Mishnah presented itself one way, but as we went through the Gemara yesterday, told us that the Mishnah was only speaking in terms of hodiah, in terms of just simply serving improper notice. With that in mind, we are continuing in the Gemara right in the middle of the Amud with the words Peshitta. The Gemara starts off with what is the Gemara thinks is obvious, is logical. Now, for like basically, let's say in the middle of the tenant's rental of the property, so the house falls down. And so we have a small problem, and that is there's no longer a house. Now, whose house falls down? So if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi says the masker's house falls down, meaning it's not the actual rental that fell. The rental's still in good shape, but right now the owner of the rental, so his own house, his own personal house, fell down. So now he needs a house. Okay. So he's going to now turn to his renter, to the tenant, and he's going to say to him, Amarle lo adifta mina, you're no better than me. Now, what does that mean, you're no better than me? So you take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi writes. Rashi towards the bottom of the Amud. Rashi is third wide line. Look, we got to the time where your rental is up, and at that point in time now, you have to leave. Now, the Amarle halo in chabalai ela machmash lo hodiatich. Now, your only claim against me, the landlord says to the tenant, is I didn't give you proper notice. So, v'ata eincha motzei ba'is l'schor. And what's wrong with it without giving proper notice? The problem without giving proper notice, as the Gemara said, is that you won't be able to find another house. To which Rashi says, afani lo hayali lo diacha shelo yadati shipol b'isi. Well, you know what? It happens to me that I'm suffering from the same problem you are. I also don't have another house. V'ani eini motzei ba'is l'schor v'lo tov shetidur ata b'fnim v'ani b'chutz. And so now, it's funny, I know, but it's true. But it's not right, it's not proper now that you should be living indoors and I should be living outdoors. Meaning it's my house and the rental is up and I'm evicting you. And your only problem now with me, which is a legitimate one, is I didn't give you proper notice. But now because my house fell down and I didn't expect that to happen and I need a place to stay, so the only reason why you need to serve notices to give proper warning so that you can find a place to stay, but my need of a place to stay is as great as your need of a place to stay, and it's my house. Huh? Well, Rashi in the very beginning says, Hol v'igiz mano. So it sounds like from Rashi that it was up.
Lease is up.
But he didn't give notice. Okay. Now, back to the Gemara. Next case of the Gemara. Zavne or orte o yave b'matana. He sold it, or he it was Yarisha to the next generation, or he gave it over as a gift. So Amarle, so now the tenant says to his new landlord, so lo adifta migavra dasus mine. Well, you're no better than the person that you came from. Meaning that I have certain rights from the original owner. I'm going to continue with those rights, including the time period of serving notice like we discussed back in yesterday's daf. Kilalibre. Okay, let's say your son gets married now and you are in need of a house for your son. Weddings, son's getting married, so these things can happen unexpectedly. And to which the Gemara says, fine. So if they happen unexpectedly, so you're going to say now to the tenant, again, the same story like we said earlier. Look, I know I normally need to serve notice, and I need to give you a proper notification in terms of eviction, but right now my son got married, and it's, you know, it was all of a sudden. And now I need a place for him to stay. If it's possible, meaning if you planned the wedding and you knew that your son needed a place to stay, so then you are expected to serve notice. But otherwise, it's understandable that you did not serve notice. There was a person who made a significantly large purchase. You know the English expression, a boatload? It's right here. It's right in the Gemara. Okay, so Arba de Chamra, so a boatload of wine, literally. So lo ashkach tukle lo osuve. Now here's his problem, and that is he had no place to put it. Okay, storage is always an issue. So Amar la, he isasa. So he goes over to a woman and he says to her, Islach tukle lo gure. You have a place for where I could rent out some storage space? So Amar lelo. So she says no. Now at the time she happened to have been single and available. Okay. So it's an opportunity. And she did have a place. That's right, as we'll see in just a second. Okay, so he takes advantage of the opportunity. So he was Mekadisher, and now that he was Mekadisher, she was a little bit more open and receptive to the suggestion of using her place as a storage facility. So Yavale Duchte Laile, Azalabese, Kasav Lagiti. Now he goes back to his home and he writes a get now to his new wife. And Shad. Okay. And Shad. And Shad.
Can you use the storage?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Exactly. There was an objective to the marriage. Okay, yes. Well, we'll see her objection in just a moment. So Shad Allah, so he sends her the get. Okay. Azla Ihi. So at this point in time she realized that the entire marriage was predicated on storage space. And she realized that she was being used. So she was used. So Azla Ihi, so what did she do? Agra Shikulaya Mine Ube. So she hired people to take the wine out of her property, and just as a excellent detail to the story, she paid the schleppers from the wine itself. Okay, and I picked it out bishvile. And what she did is she took the wine and she put it out into the street. Okay, I'm Rav Huna Bereder of Yeshua. Usually, by the way, the taking of his stuff and putting it out in the street happens before the divorce. Okay, here it happened to have happened after the divorce, but again, in the context of the story, we totally understand. So I'm Rav Huna Bereder of Yeshua, Kasher Asa Kenya Aselo Gemulo Yashubarosho. So Rav Huna Bereder of Yeshua says, okay, poetic justice. Meaning, okay, that's, you know, the way he treated her is going to basically be the same way she treated him. And okay, so lo mi by chatzah de lo kaim la agra, la fila chatzah de kaim la agra. So even if the courtyard in question is not meant for rental, but even if the courtyard in question is meant for rental, so amar le lechule ama nicha le lagure. So she'll say to him, look, for as far as everyone else is concerned, I'm open to the suggestion of renting out my place. But as far as you're concerned, I'm not interested. The damis alai ki arya arva, because you are to me like an ambushing lion. So in other words, she basically can say no to him, and even though it's open for rental and she could rent it out, but she doesn't have to rent it to whoever asks. And obviously this is not a person she would like it to rent it out to. Okay. Excellent conclusion to yesterday's daf. Yesterday. Is he liable for ksuva? Well, he was just Mekadisher. So the ksuva usually comes at the next stage. So presumably there was no ksuva that was written. But yes, in other words, if they went through the second stage of marriage, then he's going to be writing her ksuva, and that would it wouldn't make financial sense. Well, it has to, meaning it's the Erison is marriage. It's marriage. Okay. I'm asking by the Chavero. So we're continuing now on the Mishnah. Kuf Aleph Amud. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you so much. Okay, yeah. I'm with you. Good. Okay, thank you. We said this back in the Mishnah. Good, the Gemara says it. The Brisa says it. And that is that there are certain basic assumptions that we make regarding the eviction of certain tenants. And specifically, as we mentioned in the Mishnah yesterday, when it comes to general chaniot, when it comes to markets, so you have to give them a year. And as Rashi explained back in the Mishnah, it's because they are selling on credit. and when the people are coming to pay, so they like to be in the same location so that the people know where to find them when they pay them back. When it comes to the Nachtom, when it comes to the dyer, so of the Mishnah, so the baker, the dyer, so 3 years. Why? So because when they sell on credit, they sell on a lot of credit. And so therefore, you have to give them enough time in order to recoup all that money that actually is owed to them. Okay, we are starting the Mishnah. So when you are renting out to your friend, so who is responsible for what? So again, everything can be negotiated at the time of the rental, but this is going to be the general guidelines that the Mishnah is going to give in terms of who is responsible for what. So the maskir, so the owner of the property, chayv v'dalas, so he is obligated to provide a door, v'nagar, a bolt for the door, uvim in ol, and a lock, uvachol davish amaisa uman, and anything that requires a craftsman. So anything that basically you need to hire somebody to do, so that is the responsibility of the owner. Aval davish ena maisa uman, but something which is not subject to a craftsman, in other words, I could do it. So asocher oseu, so then the renter is responsible for that. Hazevel shabal abayis. By the way, just for the purposes of not being confused, every time I say the word renter, I mean the one who is renting, not the one who owns it. I'm going to refer to the landlord either. The landlord or as an owner. Okay, and the renter is the person who's renting it. Okay, tenant. Okay. So, aval davish ena maaseh uman, asocher oseu, but something which is not up subject to a craftsman, so that is responsibility of the renter, of the tenant. Hazevel shel bal habayis. Now, as far as the manure, okay, a commodity. So the zevel shel bal habayis that belongs to the bal habayis ve'ein l'socher ella hayotzei min hatanur min hakarayim bilvad. And the only thing that the tenant is able to keep to take home with him is only going to be the ashes from the oven and from the kirayim from the stovetop. Actually, kirayim is a double oven. We talked about it at length in the third parak of Shabbos. Okay, but anyway, that is our Mishnah. So we talked about responsibility of who's responsible for what, and in the Mishnah we also discussed who gets to walk away with some of the leftover benefits, the manure and the ashes. Parenthetically, manure, as we know, is good fertilizer. Ashes also serves as also good for fertilizer.
Is in the
chutzah.
The tanur, the kirayim.
Is it in the chutzah?
In the
chutzah. I don't know.
It's got to be in the tenant's
I don't know.
Area,
I don't know. What's that? Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, Amaskir Bais Chaver, Amaskir Chayav La'amid Lo. So here the Gemara quotes a Braisa. And the Braisa tells us that when you are renting, so the owner is responsible. La'amid Lo, Delos Lefsoch Lo, Chalonos Lechazek Lo. So doors, windows, Tikra Lesmoch Lo, roofs, a roof to support the beams. Visocher, and as far as the tenant, so chayv lasos lo sulam, so he's responsible to bring the ladder so he can get up to the second floor. That's funny. Right, there's no access, there's no way to get from the first floor to the second floor, you bring the ladder. Okay. Lasos lo makeh, so he's also responsible for the makeh. Apparently the makeh does not need a newman, doesn't need a craftsman. Lasos lo marzev, and he's also responsible for the draining, the gutters, right. Well, atiach has got to go, and also for the plastering of the roof. Mezuzah. So, who is responsible to put up the mezuzah when you're renting a house to somebody? Is the owner or the tenant responsible for the mezuzah? So the Gemara says, now what kind of question is that? Hamar of Misharsha mezuzah chovas adar. What are you talking about? We know that the mezuzah is the responsibility of the occupier of the house. The tenant is occupying the house. So therefore, he's responsible for the mezuzah. Rashi quotes the Gemara Menachos, where on the very bottom of the Amud, very bottom of the Rashi. Second to last line. Rashi writes, Tarshin b'menachos beischa. The Torah says, Amazos beischa. And the Gemara Darshins, Derech b'ascha. It means that the one who is entering into the house, it's not the owner in the case of a rental that's entering the house, it's the tenant who's entering the house. Derech b'ascha l'misha nichnas v'yotzila. Zeha darba. It's the person who's living there. So fine. So the Gemara says, so we know that already. So that's not even a question. And Rav Sheshes didn't have to field such a question. So the Gemara now corrects itself in terms of what was the correct question asked to Rav Sheshes. Ela makom mezuzah ami. Who's responsible for the makom mezuzah? Okay, in other words, the putting up of the mezuzah, making sure that there's a secure place for it. So Amalu Rav Sheshes Tenisuva. So Rav Sheshes says, what do you mean? That's a Mishnah. Davashain Maisa Uman de Socher Oseyu. So if something does not need a craftsman, if it's something where, like a simple screwdriver, and anyone could do it, so that's the responsibility of the tenant. And as far as hanging up the mezuzah, making sure that they're supposed to hang up the mezuzah, it's not that complicated. The Gemara says, "Begufta dekanya." You could just simply put on the gufta dekanya. Now, exactly what that is, I don't know. But I do know the following. Rashi says, "Vitola osa." So basically, it's some sort of small peg in which you're going to hang the mezuzah from that small peg. Okay. Everyone knows, I feel like this is like basic information. The mezuzah should be vertical, should be horizontal. Okay, when put on the side of the door. So, famously, it's a machlokas rishonim. It's machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. So, our Gemara seems to side, what we do is we put it on the diagonal. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Okay. Compromise. Beautiful. Okay, so this Gemara certainly seems to decide in favor of Rashi's position that the mezuzah should go on the vertical, not on the horizontal. Because, again, not exactly, it'd be better if we knew what the gufta dekanya is, but it's some sort of hook where you're hanging the mezuzah on. Certainly sounds like if you're hanging the mezuzah, it certainly sounds like it's going on a vertical, not on a horizontal. Tosos here makes exactly that point. The gufta dekanya, mekanya, rekamosh pirish Rashi, bemnachos. So our Gemara over here sides in favor of Rashi. That the mezuzah is left in a vertical. And that's why the gufta dekana is so that it does not fall down. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, where it's on the horizontal and it's laid flat, and just as a point of interest, look at the next part of Tosfos. Just like the Sefer Torah is put in the Aron. Now to us, I know, to us it's funny. We don't put the Sefer Torah in the Aron laying flat. We put it on the vertical. Okay, so v'lome umad v'menachos nami asal kimin. And Tosfos goes on and see more of it. But anyway, just as a interesting aside, our Gemara may speak to whether the mezuzah should be on the vertical or should be on the horizontal. Tanur Rab,
we put it slanted.
Compromise. It's neither. It's both. It's neither. It's like any good compromise. Nobody's happy. Okay. Tanur Rabbanan. The Gemara now quotes a brisa on the top of Kuf Beis Amud Aleph Amasya Brisa Chavero. So the socher's responsibility is to put up the mezuzah. However, when you're leaving, you should not take the mezuzah with you. You should leave the mezuzah there. Simple question. Now, Rashi over here does not utter a word in terms of why that should be. We'll ask a simple question. Why should that be? Why should you not be able to take the mezuzah with you? You put the mezuzah up. So now take it with you. So go back to the previous. I'm going to look at Tosfos. This Tosfos really belongs over here, but whatever. It fell back to Kuf Alpha Mid Beis. Tosfos writes, "Lo yilana v'yetzei afagav damashmol dematilam mibeged labeged." Now you remember the Gemara elsewhere. We talked about taking tzitziot and moving it from one garment to another garment. Okay, I did that recently. Okay, so whatever. I needed transfer. So so you're allowed to do that. Meaning, what's the objection? The possible objection is that you have right now a chefter shel mitzvah. You have something which is a mitzvah. So I shouldn't take off the tzitzis from one in order to put to another. But Shmuel says you're allowed to do that. And the reason is very simple, because you're moving it to another baggin. So you are transferring the mitzvah. You are not removing the mitzvah. So Shmuel says you're allowed to do that. So why not make the same argument by mezuzah? The guy's clearly going to go somewhere. He's gonna put it up somewhere else. So much like we can transfer tzitzis from one garment to another, why not transfer the mezuzah from one house to another? So Tosfos continues to write, "Asa lefisha mazikin ba mabayish ein ba mezuzah." So Tosfos speaks about this idea of mazikin, that somehow there are spiritual damages that occur when there is a house absent of a mezuzah, and so therefore you're removing the shmirah by removing the mezuzah. Ukshin tula ki ilu mazik osam. And by the removal of the mezuzah, so you yourself become now part of the hezek, the hezek problem. So, okay, very very interesting. A halacha based on this idea of shmirah.
Talking about the parchment, right? Not the casing.
The casing itself, you can replace the casing. Meaning, if you want to, right? If the parchment, when the Gemara speaks about mezuzah, it's the the key. So anyway, lo yilan biyad v'yotze. Umi nachri. Now we're back to the Gemara, third line down. Now, if you're renting from a non-Jew, no lo biyado v'yotze. So then you take the mezuzah with you. You don't leave the mezuzah there. And there was an incident once where a person took a mezuzah, in other words, finished his rental, took the mezuzah with him, and then Rachmanos, he buried his wife and his two sons. So the Gemara says, now we at this point think that the story is going on the second halacha we just learned, and we just learned in the second halacha when renting from a non-Jew that you're supposed to take the mezuzah with us. So the Gemara makes a very quick correction. Amar Rav Sheshet is a reisha. So Rav Sheshet says, no, that maisa is going obviously on the ratio, not in the seifa. Okay. So we are talking now about who gets to keep the fertilizer at the end of the rental. So the Gemara says, let's think this through. So the Gemara says, are we talking about a case where the courtyard was rented in addition to the house, and the animals belong to the tenant? So the Gemara says, so then I don't understand. So even when the rental is over, and now, okay, goodbye, and the tenant can't say, but wait one second. I know it's a funny sentence, but I got to take my manure with me, meaning that that's mine. And he's right, it is his, right? He rented the property, the animals belong to him, so he's right. And so the Gemara says, so clearly that can't be what the Mishnah is talking about. The tenant is obviously entitled to take the manure with him. So the Gemara says, and let's flip around these two factors. Let's say the courtyard was not rented, and let's say that the animal didn't belong to the socher, but rather belonged to the masker, to the owner of the property. So pshita, so the Gemara says, so in that case also it's going to be obvious that you can't take the manure with you, and I don't need a mishnah to teach me that because there's no chiddush there whatsoever. Parenthetically, by the way, there are two factors over here. And what the Gemara did is that the Gemara gave us the two factors going in the same direction. What's curious, by the way, is what if I split these two factors? The animal belongs. It's not. You'll see. It's not going to be the next one.
No.
That's why I'm making the point now, because I also thought it would be, and you'll see. What if the animals are owned by the owner and the property is owned by and the property was rented? What if the property was belonged by the owner but the animals were belonged to the tenant? So it's just curious that the Gemara doesn't tell us which is of these two factors or the more critical one. Maybe they're both necessary. Either way, lo tzricha, the Gemara says, okay, the chiddush of our mishnah is going to be in the following scenario. The chatzar demaskir, so the courtyard belonged to the owner, meaning he didn't rent it out. Vituri de asa me'ama kamu ba. And what happened was is that random animals went through the courtyard and deposited their manure on the courtyard. Usually, from our standpoint, that would be offensive. That would be like, what are you doing? I'm going to... No, that's the...
Why does it belong to the landlord then? The chutzah is his, the animal is nobody's.
All right.
So why isn't it his?
Oh. Why isn't it the
landlord?
Why?
The tenant.
No.
It should belong to...
He didn't rent it.
He didn't rent it out, right.
He didn't rent out the courtyard.
Right.
And an animal just walked in.
Right.
So he walked into the his resource. So why should you have a havamina that you...
Oh, what's a havamina? Okay, good. All right. Right. Well, the Gemara is going to tell us that there is a chiddush now. And the chiddush is Messiah, the Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Dam Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Chatzir Shaladim, Kanalo Shalom Idato. So, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina says that your chatzir is able to acquire for you even without your knowledge, even without your intent. So this is, brings us back. We did this earlier, much earlier in the Masechta. This idea that your courtyard acquires for you even without your knowledge, without your intent. And so over here, that's a chiddush. Chiddush is that he didn't know that the animal was passing through his courtyard, depositing its manure in its courtyard. And afa pikein, default, de facto, you acquire the manure. To which the Gemara says, wait one second, meizvei. What about the following brisa? So let's say a person says that any lost object that falls into my chatzir is going to acquire for me. Lo amar klum. So the Braisa says that that is a non-significant statement. You don't acquire anything. Now, v'imi salahadam Rav Yosef Rebbe Chanina Chatzir Shalom Konelo Shalomidato Amar Lo Amar Klum. I don't understand. Didn't we just learn that your chatzir acquires for you even without your knowledge? So, truth of the matter is, the question can even be stronger. You don't even have to make a statement, and still, whatever lost item makes its way into your property is going to acquire for you. So the Gemara says, "Ach b'may skin b'chatzir she'enu mishtameres." Okay, so here comes now the chiddush. The chiddush is that a chatzir which is not protected, it's not guarded, so it's open. Such a chatzir does not acquire for you, and a chatzir that acquires for you de facto, even without your knowledge, is only chatzir mishtameres. It's a chatzir that is protected. Ihachi emasefa. So.
What was that half a minute that would be hefker? I mean, it surely doesn't belong to the tenant.
Right.
So what was it? So
okay, I hear your question. I'm not sure. But I hear you. So Iachi Amasefa. So the Gemara says, so if that's true, so let's go on to the next part of the Braisa, which is Yatzalo Shem Mitzia Be'ir. Now let's say that we know that there's a lost item in the community. Okay? How it's making its way around. It could be it's an animal. But anyway, we know that there's a lost item in the community, and we know basically, first one that gets it is going to keep it. And Dvarav Kayamim. So under those circumstances, when he says that if that lost item finds its way into my courtyard is going to acquire it, so then Dvarav Kayamim. So now that statement has significance. Now the Gemara says, wait one second, didn't we just say together that the Bryce is talking about a chatzir she'eino mishtameres? And so that leads us to the next question. V'yib chatzir she'eino mishtameres ki yasalo she'em mitziya b'yir ma'yavi. So what that he made the statement? If the chatzir is not protected, there's no fencing, there's no perimeter around the chatzir, so then his statement should simply have no validity. So the Gemara says, kevin yasalo she'em mitziya b'yir mivdal b'dili in sheminei v'havi le chatzir mishtameres. So the Gemara says, well, in this case, it's going to be different for the following reason. Everybody knows that there is a lost item somewhere in the city. And finders keepers, the first one who's going to get their hands on it is going to keep it. And he made a declarative statement, and he said that if this item finds its way into my chatzar, I'm going to keep it. So basically, you know, to use a phrase which my kids use, he called it. And so since he called it, and he knew about it, everybody knew about it, and he called it. So therefore, once it goes into his chatzar, even though it's a chatzar shein mishtameres, people then tend to honor and respect the fact that he called it, and that's why his chatzar is going to acquire it on his behalf. Makes sure the Gemara is going to quote another braisa. Difficult to what we learned back in our Mishnah. Zevel yotzim min atanur min akarayim veha kolet min ha'avir hare elu shelo. If you were to collect the manure that comes from the oven, and that which comes from the airspace, that belongs to the tenant, only the manure finding itself on the courtyard proper, on the floor of the courtyard, so that belongs to the owner. Now, v'im isalah hadar Rav Yosef Rebbe Chanina damer chaser shal adam konolo shalom midata kolam e'avir amai hare elu shalo. Now again, let's go. Manure that's found in the airspace of the courtyard. Now, I know right now it sounds like we're talking about suspended manure. Okay, just suspended in the air. And I know about this thing of gravity. You don't have to convince me. I'm pretty much all bought into this idea of gravity, more or less. So, but still, right now when you own a courtyard, later on we're going to deal with the fact of how the manure is just kind of floating in the air. We'll address that point. But right now, the question is very simple. Your courtyard acquires for you. It's your courtyard. And so therefore, when you own a courtyard, you own not only the ground, you own the airspace as well. Rishus HaYachid typically is Ola L'Rakia, goes up. Okay, and it continues to go up. For Shabbos, that's true. We're going to be discussing next Perek, right? Two floors, one person owning one, another person owning the other. But if you own a courtyard, you own it and its airspace. So, if your courtyard acquires for you, like Rav Yossi, Rabbi Chanina keeps telling us, so then you should be acquiring the manure that's on the ground, the manure that's in the air. Like, what's going on over here? Avir chatzeruhu. The Gemara says it very succinctly. The airspace is yours, so you should acquire the manure that's not only on the ground, but in the air as well. Amar Abaye bemad bikli bishule para. So, one answer of the Gemara by Abaye is that when we're talking about manure in the air, So now we're going to give a slightly more detailed explanation of what's doing in the air. Actually, what the tenant did is he attached a bucket right to the end of the animal. Meant that literally. So the manure was collected immediately as it exited from the animal. That manure is not going to belong to the owner. That's not considered entering into the airspace of the courtyard. Rav, just to get through this, Rav Amar Avir She'in Sofo Lanuach Lav Kemunach Dami, and Rav says, well, if the tenant set up the situation in which the manure would never fall to the ground, so that is what's called avir she'ein sofa lanuach. And if you can create this situation in which it will be perpetually suspended in air, that's not airspace owned by the owner. So we have two answers, really, Rav and Abaye, Abaye and Rava. One is an ukimta, and the other is a real lumdisha point. The ukimta is the bucket was connected to the end of the animal, and so therefore that's not considered airspace. And then the second point of the Gemara, Rava's answer is no, airspace where it never is going to go down, it's never going to descend. So the so that belongs to you. And presumably the Bryce is dealing with a case where it must be uneven properties, and basically there was a runoff from one property into this property, and he was able to do is create an apparatus that would collect it in the air and therefore never drop down to the ground, and that's what's called avir she'ein sofo lanuach. Okay, just give me one more second and I'll pause. Umi pshita le Rava, the Gemara says now, for Rava, this question of avir she'ein sofo lanuach, is that so obvious to Rava? Because here, he feels very strongly about this idea. Vami baile debai Rava. But meanwhile, Rava asked the question, we also saw this question earlier in the Masechta as well. Zark arnini bepesach zeh v'yatza bepesach zeh. Let's say I took a wallet and I declare it to be hefker, and whoever gets it first is going to get it. So hefkir l'chol hakodem, says Rashi. And so what does he do? He throws it through somebody's property. Never actually landed in the property. So mahu avishin sofa lanuach kemunach dami or lav kemunach dami. And here you hear Rava asking exactly this question. It's airspace where it's never going to drop to the ground. And how do we view it halachically? And Rava is saying, I don't know. On one hand, you own airspace. On the other hand, this airspace, it never actually enters. It's going to touch down. And so therefore, I don't know whether or not you acquire this or you don't acquire this. So why over here is Rava unclear? But meanwhile, as it relates to the Mishnah, as it relates to the Pshat and the Breitza, Rava was very clear. So the Gemara says, "Hasol lamifsik v'lamidi hachemifsik kli." To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you the difference. The difference is that when you put up a kli, set up a kli, so that you know that it will never enter the airspace because the kli is always going to stop it, so then that's avishin sofa lanuach, and then you're not going to be kona. The owner of the chatzar is not going to acquire. Ma she'ein kein, when you are throwing something through the airspace and there is nothing separating the item and the ground below, and even though it's not going to land there, but it, I mean, I understand in the trajectory and with the physics, it won't land there. But there's nothing separating the item and the floor below. So there, Rava says, in that scenario, I am unsure. Okay, yeah.
This whole principle that the landlord's chatzar acquires from, does that mean that if the tenant is walking through the guy's big yard and his wall drops out and he doesn't realize it, then it's acquired by the landlord?
When we're talking about a chatzar, it means it's not being rented out. Right now, the courtyard is not being rented out.
So he hasn't...
Correct. Correct. In other words, he rented out his house, but not the courtyard. So the Gemara quoted the Braisa we just saw again. The Braisa says that the manure that's actually on the floor or in the refus that's in the barn, it belongs to the owner. So Tartus, the Gemara says, wait one second. There are two points over here. They basically are the same point. Now, I'm going to learn the Gemara like Rashi. Tosus does not learn it like this, but I'm going to learn the Gemara like Rashi, like I generally do. And Rashi says that it's redundant. If I'm acquiring the manure in the courtyard, I'm going to acquire the manure in the barn. It's on the floor. So why do the Brisa need to make the point twice? Amar Abaye Hachikamar, Ushe Berefes, Shebechatzer. Okay, so just a short editing of the Brisa. It's actually mentioning the Refes that's in the courtyard. Hare Elu Shebal Abayis. Okay. Amar Avashi, Zos Amar Zamaskir, Chatzer, Ostam, Lawiske, Refes, Shebal. Okay, when you rent out your courtyard. So, and again, you weren't specific. So the refus does not to go together with the courtyard. That's what we just learned together, because we just saw that when you rent out your place and your courtyard as well, any manure that finds itself in the barn is going to belong to you. So again, doesn't have to be, but seemingly it's a presumption that when you rent out your courtyard, the barn doesn't go with it. Meitzvah, the Gemara challenges based on the following brisa: Yonah Shevach v'Yonah Aliyah, Chayavus b'Shiluach v'Asuras b'Gezel m'Nei Darchei Shalom. So the birdhouses. What generally happens is Rashi over here gives us the a description of the Yonah Shevach. Look at the Rashi. Shemavakshim is onosayim besada. V'kaneim v'shovach. Okay, so during the day they go out for food, and then they come to the birdhouse at night in order to have a good night's sleep. V'inei l'yonei hardesios agdelim bebatim. These are not domesticated birds. Okay, so these are, if you will, wild birds that, you know exactly where to get a good night's sleep, so they go into your birdhouse. So, what's the halacha regarding this? Yoni Shavach, Yoni Aliyah, Chayavas B'Shiluach. So, there's a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen. You can fulfill the mitzvah in the Torah mentioned in the beginning of Parshas Kisetze of sending away the mother bird in order to take the eggs or the chicks. The Asuras B'Gezel M'Nei Darchei Shalom. Now, what you can't do is that you can't go into somebody's property and take them. Now, why? Does a person who actually owns the property own the birds? The answer is no. No, doesn't own them. Right? The birds are wild. Right? The birds can fly away anytime they want. He doesn't own them. However, here's what's going to happen. You go into somebody's property and you take the birds from their birdhouse, and there's going to be a fight. Like, well, what are you doing? That's my property. That's my birdhouse, and you know, that's, you know, I'll put this in quotes. That's my birds. Okay, they're not his birds, but. Okay, he thinks they are, and totally understandable. So what we learned back in Gittin is that a number of institutions were made as a result of Darchei Shalom to try to keep the peace, and one of them is that don't take the birds out of people's birdhouses as a result of Darchei Shalom. So it's a rabbinic enactment that's made that you can't take the birds out of people's properties, even though Me'ikar Adin does not belong to them, but in order to keep the peace, so therefore don't take the birds. Now, so now for another time this morning, we're going to ask the question again. It's your chatzir, and your chatzir requires for you even without your das. So then, now we know that the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen, the Gemara in Chulin discusses this, dedicates a perek at the end of the Masechta to this topic. The Gemara in Chulin tells us, and the Gemara here is quoting it, that the only time there's a mitzvah Shiluach HaKen is if you happen to be upon a bird, a nest, a mother, its chicks, its eggs, etc. But in other words, but you cannot prepare this mitzvah. Most mitzvahs in the Torah require preparation. You can't just find yourself a sukkah on sukkahs. You gotta build it. And most mitzvahs require preparation. So this is one of those mitzvahs where not only is there no preparation, but you can't prepare for such a mitzvah. It has to happen upon you. So if we subscribe to the rule of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, that your courtyard acquires with you without your intent, so now these birds on your property are yours, and so therefore you can't do the mitzvah shiluch again. So Amarava beitzas biyitzias ruba hudi chayvle bishiluch umikne lokanya ad denafla lechatzero. So we're going to start off with a number of answers. First, a technical answer. First answer of the Gemara is that the egg, when is it chayv in the mitzvah shiluch again? When the majority of it has left its mother. However, that means that while the egg is being in the process of being laid, so it's chayv in the mitzvah shiluach haken. However, mikna lo kanya adanaf lechatzero, but an acquisition is not made until it actually enters into the chatzer. V'kchi ketani chayevs b'shiluach, and when the Braisa told us that you are responsible for this mitzvah of shiluach, that's become a detipol chatzero. That's before it falls down to the ground. Once it falls down to the ground, it's now mizuman, and therefore there's no mitzvah of shiluach haken. So obviously what we did is we significantly limited the time frame in which you could do the mitzvah of shiluach haken. It's the time where the majority of the egg has left the body of the mother, and before it actually hit the floor.
But okay. The mother can fly away any time, so how can the chutzah be koyna? chutzah cannot be, even if it's not yoisi, chutzah cannot be koiner if the item that you want to be koiner can fly away.
Well, we're talking about the egg.
I'm talking about the mother.
Okay, but we're talking about the egg.
You cannot do shliach hakal unless you mishaleach the mother.
Okay, well, You may like the next answer. Well, let's first finish this answer. So the Gemara says now, if we're at this point in time, so what gzeil are we talking about? Meaning the egg has not yet hit the floor. So what gzeil are we talking about? So the Gemara says, ah iman, the gzeil is going on the mother. Meaning that don't take the mother because of the iser gzeila. Okay. Ibai seima. La'olam abeitzim. Umidinafek rubay. Dati lave. Or the Gemara says that really we could be talking about the eggs. And yes, the eggs haven't hit the floor yet. But you know, that's what's going to happen. Again, this thing called gravity. So even though technically speaking, it hasn't hit the floor yet, it hasn't hit the chatzah yet, but you know that's where it's going. And so therefore, dati lave. So the owner's mindset is already on it. And so the institution of Darchei Shalom, where nobody should come in and take it from you, in this case, actually, it's beyond Darchei Shalom. Because it's now in your chatzah. But the fact that it's headed in your chatzah and you know it's going to hit your chatzah, so already makes it yours. Okay. So far we have given one answer to the question, if your chatzah cries for you, how can there be a mitzvah of shiloh haken? So answer number one, the time frame here is extraordinarily limited. It's between majority of the egg coming out and the egg actually hitting the floor of the chatzah. Now the Gemara says, now the truth of the matter is that we can even give a more fundamental answer. And that is a statement made by Rav, which is that you cannot be zocha bebeitzim. You cannot take the eggs for yourself as long as the mother is roosting on the eggs. Only afterwards, after you send away the mother bird, then you take the eggs. So if that's true, afilu tema denafla la lechatzero. So now we can go even further. Really what happened was is that the mother laid the egg and the egg is now on the floor. But the mother right now is sitting on top of the egg. Now, kol echad iu matzi zachele, chatzero zachele. Now, if you could be zoche in the egg, so your chatzer can be. V'chol echad iu lo matzi zachele, chatzero namelo zachele. But if you can't be zoche in the egg, and remember, you can't be zoche in the egg until you send away the mother bird. So now, if you can't be zoche, your chatzer can be no better than you. So therefore, the egg now is not yet acquired to you. So that's why now we can understand how there could be a mitzvah shiloh haken. It's not mizuman. It wasn't prepared because right now the egg doesn't belong to you. So the Gemara says, now if that's true, so let's consider the next point that we learned together, and that was that you can't take it because of Darchei Shalom. Now, if you fulfill the mitzvah of Shiloh Haken and send away the mother bird, so now the egg is exposed, which means now that you can acquire it. It means your courtyard acquired it. So, Gezel Ma'al Yehu. Let's not call this Darchei Shalom. Let's call this what it is. It's your egg. Somebody's taking it from you. That's real. That's Gzela. Bonafide gzela. So idelo shacha habay shlucha. And if you didn't send away the mother bird, so you need to send away the mother bird. So and nobody can take it. So where do we stand with this? Where in this story are we going to have a violation of theft, but only on the level of Darchei Shalom? So the Gemara says, Bikatan, Delav Bar Shiluachu. So the Gemara says, well, the miner went ahead and took the egg. So the Gemara says, Katan Bar Darchei Shalom. The Gemara says, really, is a miner subject to the principles of Darchei Shalom?
It's rabbinic.
The Darchei Shalom is rabbinic and it applies only to adults, meaning, I guess, because kids are going to fight anyway. I say that in jest, although I don't, but but in other words, the rabbinic Darchei Shalom does not cover Katanim. So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamra, Avishol Katan Chayv Lahachzir Lo Mimni Darchei Shalom. Here's what we mean. The kid took the egg. The kid is not subject to Darchei Shalom. The adults are subject to Darchei Shalom. However, my kid goes into somebody else's property and takes an egg. And even though he's not subject to Darchei Shalom, but What's going to happen is that the father's going to come over to me, and the father's going to say, "All right, you know what your kid did, and okay." So therefore, it's the father's responsibility, and he is subject to the chisham to go ahead and to return the egg. And that is the that would be the circumstance in which the Bryce is describing. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the first sugya of today. So just as a quick recap, so we talked about the responsibility of when leasing a property, when renting a property to somebody. Who is responsible for what? So the Mishnah told us that Maisa Uman, the owner, Maisa Hedyo, the tenant. And then we discussed a little bit of mezuzah today, a little bit of Hilchos mezuzah, and then a discussion in the Gemara centering around the statement of Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanina that your chatzar acquires on your behalf, and a number of seeming challenges to the statement of Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanina. We start with the Mishnah. We're on the very bottom of Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah continues. Amasker by chaver l'shana. Let's say I lease on a yearly term. Nit'abra Hashana. Now what happens is that Beis Din decided that this year is going to be an Ibur Yar, and they're going to add an additional month. So this month now is part of the year, but it's a bonus month. Nit'abra L'socher. So now, who gets that extra month? The answer is the tenant gets that extra month, meaning rent-free. Now, it's not really rent-free, meaning he paid for the year, and now he just got a little bit extra in the year. So, okay. But if the term of the rent is on a monthly basis, so you pay for every month, so there's another month, because Beis Din decided that this year there's going to be an extra month, so you pay another month. Fine. So far, so good. Just give me a second. And then the following episode happened in Tzipori, which is a person rented a bathhouse from his friend. 12 golden coins for 1 year, and Zahav Lechodesh. And also a Zaha for a month. Meaning, basically, we express the rental term both in terms of the annual and in terms of the monthly. Uva, Kovbeza Medbez, Maisa Lefne Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel, Velefne Rabbi Yosef Amri Yachloku Es Chodesh HaIbur. And they say that what we should do with that extra month is that we should split it between the socher and the masker. He only needs to pay half the rent because it was expressed in both terms. Okay, yeah.
The definition of the year, if the prevailing custom in the country is the year is 12 months, right? Why right. Wouldn't that supersede the Shana Duber?
Well, remember, we're going back to a point in time where we did not know it was going to be an Ibur Yar. In other words,
I'm saying if they lived in Galut, right, and in the country they lived, the year is 12 months, and you follow the prevailing custom,
right? This Mishnah to us is, I hear you. Mishnah over here to us is going to seem a little bit strange because we know when the leap year is coming. Yeah, this Mishnah has to be in the context of they simply did not know what was coming. Beis Din made a decision before the calendar was fixed. Calendar was fixed about the 3rd century. So before the Mishnah was written before this. Before the calendar was fixed, it literally was a last-minute decision made by Beis Din to determine whether or not they're going to have an extra month. So at the beginning of the year, you simply did not know that there was going to be an extra month this year. Okay, Maisa Listor, so the Gemara says, now the story is contradictory. Now, just between us, the story is really not that contradictory. Meaning, what did the Mishnah say? If the rental is done per annum, so then you pay per annum. If it's done monthly, so then it's paid monthly. And then the story is where both were expressed. So it's not like the story really contradicts the Mishnah straight out. But but right now, this is the way Rashi presents it. Again, I'm presenting like Rashi. But right now, you really are, it's a binary Mishnah. The two options are either monthly or annually. You don't see, as the Mishnah presents itself, that there's an idea of either split. It's one or the two. And then the story introduces us to this idea of Yachloku. That's why the story contradicts the previous Mishnah, according to Rashi. So Maisa Lister, Chasur Mechsav Achikatani. So the Gemara says, V'yimamar lo b'shnei masar, zehuvim, l'shana midinar, zahav lechodesh. So yachloku. So the Gemara says, okay, and what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to tack on a little bit to the Mishnah, and that is that if both of them are articulated, so then the money gets divided. And then we just went over the last part of the Mishnah, where now the story corroborates this idea that if we're expressing the rental both in year and in month, and now you get that extra month, so now I don't know what to do, so you divide that last extra month. Okay, Amar Rav. Rav makes the following declaration. I think that the entire rent goes to the owner. So my kamash malan tfos lashon achron, and you know why? Because of order. Meaning that when there are two statements being made, and the first and the second are not in agreement, which one do I side with? So as we're going to see in just a moment, Rav sides with the latter, the second statement that's made. And so in our Mishnah, since the articulation of month comes after the articulation of year, so therefore the rent is per month, not per year. And therefore, I think, says Rav, that the entire extra month should go to the owner. So the Gemara says, Hamar Rav Chadazimna. The Gemara says, now we're not surprised. Rav said this elsewhere. Damar Ravuna Amri Be Rav Astira Ma'a Ma'e Me'a I'm sorry, Me'a Ma'i. So let's say the following negotiation took place between two people, where they were talking about a price. One way they described it was an astira, that's a coin, valued at 96 ma'a. Ma'a over here in this context means a pruta. Okay, sometimes it's a silver coin, but over here ma'a means a pruta, and me'a ma'i. And then he said 100 ma'a. Now, an astira is 96. Right. So he says 96, and then he says 100. So me'a ma'i. So again, so Rav says that since the second statement is the more significant one, he is bound by the second statement. And it works the other way as well. Me'a ma'i, if he says 100 ma'a, which is an astira, and again, an astira is actually worth 96, so astira, so you pay an astira. So again, without going into too much details, and there's a Rashi over here who explains how can astira be 100, meaning it's 96. Okay, see Rashi for more details over here. But either way, we see very clearly that we follow the second, not the first. So the Gemara says, no, if that was the only example I had, I could have said the second statement is not a contradiction to the first, but a definition of the first. So Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, so that's the Chiddush over here. Chiddush over here is that when the two statements simply cannot be aligned with one another, and I have to favor one of the two, I'll favor the second, not the first. That's what we learn over here. That's Rav's position over here. Rav seemingly is arguing with our Mishnah. Okay, but Rav tells us that if it were up to him, in such a circumstance where first the annual rental is declared and then the monthly, so Rav says, so then I think it's per month, and therefore if it's an ibrior, so the mosque or the owner is going to get paid in full for that extra month's rent.